yesterday we finished the sugya on the top of until Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis on top. So I wanted to go back now and deal with the Tosafim. The first one, which I mentioned is very briefly, is the Tosafim in the bottom of Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis. Pinchad, who would like to read for me?
You're asking me to read it, or you're asking me to read it?
Thank you, Adir.
Yes.
So remember, the Gemara had posed the stira between what and what? Between the Mishnah here, and which part of the Mishnah here?
The latter part.
Haba lachosa, which is the last clause, right? So someone who rapes or seduces a nara. So if it happened to be one of the arayos, so our Mishnah said, what's the din? You pay kanas. And the Mishnah Makos says that you get Malkus. And the question is, you can't get both, so which one do you get? So, the Gemara posed a stira between this Mishnah and that Mishnah. So Tosas asked a very simple question. Go ahead. Alright, stop. So that's the Gemara's question. Right? The question is that the Mishnah, where does this appear in the Gemara? This appears on the latter third of the Mishnah. But the question is, why did the Gemara leave it until then? After all, they could have asked the question already on the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if someone is ma'anes or mafata, someone rapes or seduces a nara who happens to be a mamzeres, so they collect the kanas. And the Mishnah Marko says that if you baal a mamzeres, your punishment is Malkus. So the very same question could have been asked. So why did the Gemara wait till here to ask the question? That's Tosafos' question. So the answer is, so according to Tosafos, why did the Gemara wait till to ask the question on this? There's an assumption here, which is a highly debatable presumption that Tosafos makes. In other words, the Gemara could have posed Habala Mamzeres, which is basically the first clause. It's the first example in the Mishnah. Elon Arashesham Knas Habal HaMamzeres. And it could have said the Mishnah in Elokin says Mamzeres. So why did they wait? What's the answer?
Trying to save space for putting the other.
Right.
You don't have to put the entire.
Right. Tosafos makes an assumption. That if the Gemara had wanted to pose a stira, it would have had to have quoted the entire Mishnah in Makos until you get to that part. The truth be told, if you'd asked me, I would have said it's not such a big deal. You know what you do? You say ve'elu hin alokin habala mamzeres, because if you take a look in the Mishnah there. The Mishnah says, firstly, Ve'elohin alokana, v'alachosav, v'alachosav, v'alachosimah, v'alachosishtah, v'alachosishachah, v'alachosishachah, v'alanidah. Almana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hendit, mamzeresu nesina li'Yisrael. It's not that long, okay, so it's a little less. And who says you need to have quoted the entire thing? You could have said, Ve'elohin alokan, haba al mamzeresu nesina li'Yisrael. So Tosafos feels for some reason the Gemara needed to have quoted the Mishnah Kitzurasa. This idea is a little bit consistent with a principle that Rabbeinu Tam articulates a number of places in Shas. Sometimes the Gemara brings a proof from a pasuk or from a Mishnah, and Rabbeinu Tam claims that it actually isn't from that particular pasuk or that particular Mishnah, the part that's quoted, it's from the second half. One of the things that I pointed out, I think I mentioned when we started this sugya, is what's the last word of the piska? What's the last word between the two dots? Doesn't matter in this case, but sometimes it matters. What's the last word? V'chule. V'chule sometimes is very, very, very important, because very often the Gemara will have a piska, and it's actually commenting on the v'chule part, not on the beginning part. So Rabbeinu Tam says that sometimes the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and as a raya for something, as a source, as a makor, and it's not really that pasuk, that half the pasuk, it's the second half of the pasuk. It's a shorthand that just quotes the beginning. So in that sense, what Tosafos is suggesting here is similar, that the Gemara doesn't, why does the Gemara do that generally? Why does the Gemara, when it quotes the Makar, quote the beginning of the pasuk? Because that's the shorthand way of knowing it. So Tosus assumes that the Gemara would have quoted the entire Mishnah, if even just to get to the point of Habal Amamzeres. And the fact is that the Gemara didn't want to spill all that ink, and therefore it waited until it got to the case of the Mishnah, which was at the beginning of the Mishnah Malkos, to raise the issue of Kam Levi the Rabbi Nei when it comes to getting Malkos and Mamam. If you'd ask me, if you're going to make the argument, I would have made a slightly different argument than Tosos. So I would have suggested that the format. The reason why the Gemara poses the stira between this part of the Mishnah and the Mishnah Makos is that these two parts are identical. In other words, Haba Alachosav Alachosav Alachosimo, that entire clause is identical. What was the formulation, if you recall? I just cited it from the Mishnah Makos. Mamzer Sunasina Li Yisrael. It's not Haba Alamamzer. And therefore, you might argue that the Gemara waited until it had the more parallel expression to pose the contradiction. But I would go a step farther, taking my point. What does my point really highlight? The fact that the formulation is different than Malkos. The fact that the formulation in Malkos, that the formulation is Mamzeres Unesina Li Yisrael, as opposed to Habala Mamzeres. What does that really highlight?
Those statements were obviously, one statement was known when making the other one, so presumably there wouldn't be.
Not necessarily.
If he's copying the exact same list, presumably he knows that like that data is known, so it's really.
Yeah, but why doesn't he copy the whole list? Why is the list different? Now, this, for part of it, it's the same. Part of it's different. Yitzi?
It highlights the fact that our Mishnah in the beginning is really coming to talk about Psula, not the idea that it's.
Which really already anticipates what? You're correct. I'll explain this statement in a moment. What is that another way of saying? Which I opened our sugya by observing.
That could have been in Ukimta, while they're different.
Yes. Whose Ukimta is that? It's fundamentally the Yushalmi's Ukimta. Remember, the Yushalmi suggested that Habala Mamzeres doesn't have to be dealing with the question at all of Kam Levi the Rabbi Mineh. How could it be that you have Habala Mamzeres but you're not Chayav Malkos?
It's a Mamzer.
It's a Mamzer. What if a Mamzer is Mefata or Ma'anes a Mamzeres? So you can still first. So the truth be told, in that case it's Ruya Lekayma as well. But nonetheless, the Mishnah is telling you that even though they're psulei kahal, even though they can't marry into the kahal, the bottom line is that they're still in the parish of Knas. Even though most people, and maybe even the Ma'anes and Mefata, perhaps couldn't marry the Mamzeres, nonetheless the Mishnah is telling you there still is a din of Knas. But the idea that you would definitely get Malkos, not necessarily so. Not every Ba'al HaMamzeres gets Malkos. A Mamzer Habala Mamzeres is allowed to do so. A Ger is allowed to marry Mamzeres. Only a Kohal member, Kohen Levi Yisrael and Halal, cannot marry a Mamzeres. So in effect, that's why the Mishnah in Makos doesn't say Habal HaMamzeres, because it wouldn't necessarily be true. Not every Bala Mamzeres gets Malkos. What is the formulation in the Mishnah Makos? Mamzeres Unasina Li Yisrael, because every Yisrael Habal HaMamzeres gets Malkos. That's why the Mishnah in Makos formulates it that way. Whereas here, the Mishnah is really not thinking about the question of Iser. It's thinking about, especially in the first part, it's thinking about people who are Psulei Kahal. Are they included in the parasha of Knas or not? Alex?
Could you say, based on the fact that we're asking a part that's earlier in that Mishnah, that maybe this conversation was actually a conversation on that Mishnah? And then they could ask the question.
So I'll tell you why. It's an excellent suggestion. I'd like to say you've learned well. But the reason I think it's unlikely is I don't think this sugya appears in Makos. At least I don't see in the Tziyunim. I didn't check every part of the Gemara. I don't think it appears there. And thus, it strikes me as odd. Not impossible. It doesn't mean you say impossible. It strikes me as odd that the sugya should appear here, not there, and yet that is the original sugya. If you found it in both, if the sugya existed in parallel, I would think that what you said is exactly correct. Right? It starts with that, and therefore, it's really asking in the beginning of that Mishnah, and therefore they ask from the part of our Mishnah that's relevant. And then when it came to this sugya, the editors inverted it. But so it looks odd, because why did they wait till this point? But they waited for a reason. So that's what I would have said. But given its absence there, I think it to be a little less likely. Not impossible. You know, it's possible the sugya just fell out of that Gemara. For whatever reason, they didn't include it. Not every sugyas by any means. In the Yushalmi, it's typical that sugyas are duplicated to the relevant places. In the Bavli, it's not necessarily so. I mean, I don't know what percentage, but I suspect not a, maybe not even a majority of cases. I don't know. Okay. Fine. Next, Tosfos. We can skip over the, it's interesting, but let's skip over the top Tosfos. Let's go to the second Tosfos on Lamed Beis Amin Aleph. The Ein Lokeo Mishalim. Okay, so let's just step back for 1 second. The Gemara posed the stira. The Gemara posed the stira between our Mishnah here in Ksubas that says you pay knas in these cases where you're bo'al arayos. The Mishnah Makos says you get malkos. The assumption of the quote, what's the stira? Maybe the more the merrier. Maybe you pay and you get malkos. So the Gemara immediately chimes in, v'kaimalon de'eno loke o'meshalim. So let me ask you a question. How do you know that Eino Loko Meshalim? So Rashi already... The Gemara is positing something here. Firstly, does everybody agree that you can't get Malkus and pay money for the same violation? No. So what do we know? We know there's a Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim in Malkus. If Edom come and testify that Reuven owes Shimon $100, and then Edom come and say to the Edom, you weren't there to witness the loan. We don't know whether the loan happened or not, but Imanu Hayusim Babakum Ploni, you were with us at another time, so they're Edim Zomim. And what's the din? So our mayor says that they pay the money, they want it to be Mechayev Ruvein, they pay the $100, and they also get Malkos because of Lo Sanev Rechayit Sheker, right? That they get Malkos for violating the law of testifying falsely. And the Chachamim say, no, you only pay money. What is Rabbi Meir's rationale? What does he say in the Mishnah?
Can't be punished twice for
what's that?
Can't be punished twice for
no, that's what the Chachamim say. There's no double jeopardy. What is Rabbi Meir? What is Rabbi Meir's rationale that he offers in the Mishnah? Yitzi? No, that's not what he offers in the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara suggests as the source.
One comes from here, one comes from there.
Lo Hashem HaMeviya Lidei Malkos, Meviya Lidei Mamon. That Avera, one Avera is Mechayiv in the Malkos, another Avera, another Pasuk is Mechayiv in the Mamon. Lo Sane is Mechayiv him Malkos, and Vakasher Zamam, Vasisan Lo Kasher Zamam is Mechayiv him money. And the Chachamim, as the Gemara says there, hold, and we'll see later in our sugya, Kidei Risha Soba Mispar. Mimnei Risha Achasata Mechayiv, you only give him one punishment, you can't give him two punishments. Fine. So why does the Gemara here immediately assume, as a given, the Eino Loko Mishalim? The obvious answer, of course. All right, so let me formulate the question a little bit differently. This is the top Tosos, which we're not going to read. What would you have expected to be the outcome?
Outcome of what?
Okay, so the guy is Ma'anes' sister. So which is the Mishnah that you're trying to explain? Which is the one that you think is reasonable? Which is the one, initially, at first glance in the Gemara, which is the one you're having trouble explaining?
Why you pay knas, I assume.
What's that?
Why you pay knas.
Why you pay knas, right? Our default assumption, maybe because we know the maskana, is that if you have Malkus and Mammon, we give you the more severe one, and generally speaking, most of us would regard the more severe punishment as Malkus. How many of you, given a choice of Malkus and Mammon, would choose Malkus? For yourself. How much money? Okay. $1,000.
Okay, I'm
off. Really?
I'm going to do a social... I'm going to do an experiment here. We're going to test... Nagar, about 1,500. Do I hear 1,700?
Yeah.
Okay. How about $10,000?
Go down.
Go down.
He's willing to do it for $1,000. So see, what are you doing for?
You said Malkus and Mammon.
He said Malkus.
No, oh, sorry. I should know that every strip.
I don't even have that.
Okay, fine. They have $500 in that guy. It's like a Dutch auction. You know, they have the flower auction.
Flower
what?
Auction or go takes down.
Okay. How about $100?
Maybe.
Okay. This is like those of you know Daniel Kahneman's, you know, thinking fast and slow. Okay, there you go.
We
so we're
a rich sadist in this year now. He has a.
Okay.
He has a.
You mean a masochist? Yes, Alex.
And one thing, it seems to me that in a case where you have an explicit pasuk saying that in this case you have knas versus you have a general principle that Allah gets machos.
One second. What's your explicit pasuk that you pay knas? One who's ma'anei semafata and nara pays knas. That's a pasuk. Who says that nara happens to be a sister?
No, but assuming that she's a sister, why is that an exception?
Well, everybody. Well, I don't want to say everybody. Mayor would agree. Why would one assume that the nara being described is an erva?
You just assume it includes erva.
Okay, but in other words, the typical, again, putting aside our comments about, you know, sort of historical behaviors and so on, I don't think the pshat assumption in reading that pasuk means that it's likely that you're dealing with someone who's another iser.
Granted, but I don't think the pshat is that it's
not. No. So once you say that, if you have a principle of in adam loko mishalin and you get malkos, it's obvious that you say that the pasuk is dealing with the rove of cases in which there happens to be no malkos. Meaning you didn't. There's no other. It's a girl you could have married in theory if you both had consented, right? And you had the father's permission. That would have been the simple assumption. Right? It's fair to say that probably the cases that you see in the Mishnah that come to that are typically not of arayos. In other words, when you find stories in the Gemara, do you know of any stories in the Mishnah about Ones? I know of one. It's an Aram Masech, that's at the end of the first parak. Zach, you should know this. Ma'aseh b'tino k'sheyorda l'malas mena ayin v'nensa, right? So, we don't even know who the rapist was there, but presumably it wasn't her brother or her uncle or her nephew, because otherwise she would have recognized the person, right? It's someone she had no idea who it was. So I suspect that most of the cases that actually come up are strangers. Even if we may know that, let's say, incest, abuse is most common within, you know, people who know the victim, be it family members, you know, or friends of family and so on. But I suspect what Chazal are dealing with, what they perceive they're dealing with, are not krovim. So I think when you read the pasuk, you could assume lefi pshuto the Torah isn't necessarily talking about krovim. It's talking about the regular case. If I didn't have a din of malchus, if I didn't have anything else, I would say it applies there as well. But once you have a default assumption that adam is ain't a loka mishalim, you get malchus instead of mammon, I would have said the pasuk is referring to the typical case where there happens not to be malchus. Right? In the same way,
it just seems to me that you have one default, which is, we're really arguing over what the default should be, and I guess.
Well, you're correct. But right now, the Gemara just says in adam loka mishalim. It's not even taking a stand on which is which. We would typically assume loka because maybe we know the maskana of the Gemara. We assume loka to be more severe, and you're saying that even if we knew that, maybe this is exceptional, which is a kind of logic that doesn't exist, right? What was Rabbi Meir's explanation in the Yerushalmi? If Rabbi Meir holds that adam. According to Reish Lakish, if the Chachamim hold that you're never loka umishalim, even when you don't get the malkos, even when it's only potential malkos, right? So the question they asked against Reish Lakish is, what do you do with the pasuk of someone who eats truma b'shgaga has to pay? And what was the Gemara says you can say that this mission is Rabbi Meir, but you can't say the pasuk's only according to Rabbi Meir. So what was the final conclusion of the Yerushalmi? Why would the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir say, despite the potential malkos, if you had done it b'mezin and been warned, why do you pay when you eat truma b'shogeg? The answer was
that was an exceptional case.
Because the Torah says so. The Torah removes it from the general rule, right? So you can have such a possibility. So the Gemara assumes that ein adam loka mishalim. Right now, they're not even taking a stand for sure on which one is going to be the default punishment, and that's going to be machlokes reishlak Rabbi Yochanan and Ula. Zach.
What is the idea of it being the worst punishment come from? Is that stated by
Klum Lebe the Ravamina? You want to know why?
Or I also want to know, was that not stated just in the context of Nisa Mam?
It's clear
that Mises
is much worse.
It's the Mishnah
that Tosfos
quotes.
Again, but yes, okay. Yeah, and there it means actually Moser Nafsha, right?
Oh, really?
Right, that's the Mishnah and the Mishnah Brachos, right? In other words, why do they have to say B'chol Nafshecha and B'chol Modecha? So, Mugzam Ksat, right? In other words, it's a little exaggerated. There aren't too many people who are so warped that they would rather be killed than give up their money. I mean, presumably anyway, you'd rather give up your money because if they kill you, you won't have the money anyway. Well, I guess maybe some people would rather be dead than live without their money, so maybe that's a possibility. Dead without money doesn't really matter. But living without money, that could be worse. Some people would consider the shame worse. Right? A wealthy person, you know, you can see lots of stories like this, right? Who the shame is so great of becoming, you know, poverty stricken. Okay, so, but how do I know that you give the greater punishment?
It's that the mission is not how you're the Tosafot supposed to. You get the you're gonna be, if we give you the lesser one, you benefit from.
So no, but the counter response to that is, granted, if I did want the more chamer avera first, I'm going to get the more chamer punishment. We're not going to let me off the hook because now that I did something less. But the question is, if they come bevasachas, it's a why do you assume that he has to get the greater one? You know, unless the same answer will apply. Because even if you do it at the same time, if you did it without the other avera, we'd be giving the more severe punishment. Now, do you do it with the other avera? We're going to treat you more leniently. So that's why it's a svara. It's a svara.
And can you not say that in this case, since we're so supak about which is the greater punishment, why don't we just say that they're essentially equal? There is no greater one. Some people would rather get less and some people would rather pay.
So I think that the general... I don't know how to explain... I do know how to explain Ula. Okay, but Rabbi Yochanan's position is really the default position. Let me just explain simply why. To quote a comment that I once heard Rav Shechter quote from Chaim Yivalashen. Why does it say... In the first parasha it says b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha. In the second parasha it only says b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem. It doesn't say b'chol me'odchem. Why not? So there were two answers given. I don't remember if they're both Chaim V'lashon or only the second one. One was, but she used to explain why the sheet of Rishonim would say that you don't redeem a captive even if his life is in danger if they're demanding more than a reasonable value. So Tosaf says it's only if they're not one day, and Tosaf says only if their life's not in danger. But if their life's in danger, you pay all the money in the world. And other Rishonim say no, that even if their life is in danger, you don't pay more than the appropriate ransom. So the question is, how can you say that if it's pikuach nefesh? If his life is in danger, how can you not have to pay the money? The answer is that impoverishment of the tzibur rises to the level of pikuach nefesh. That was one teret. So that's why it doesn't say v'chol me'odchem in the second parasha, because v'chol me'odchem for the tzibur, because the first parasha is lashon yachid, levavcha nafshecha modecha. The second parasha of Shema is addressing the tzibur, and in the context of the tzibur, there is no difference v'chol nafshechem and v'chol me'odchem, because even v'chol me'odchem is of v'chol nafshechem. But the other explanation that he quotes, I'm pretty sure this case, that would explain that sheet in Tosfos. The other explanation that he gives, that I think he quotes from Chaim V'lashon, is that it's possible to find individuals who are so warped that they will value their money more than their life. But a tzibur never has its priorities so out of whack. I'm not sure Chaim V'lashon saw modern American society, you know, and even the from community today. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to tell. Okay, so anyway, so I think that the default assumption has to be that normal people, when, remember, Makos is not a fun thing. Okay, we're not allowed to do experiments here. You know, when I did chulin, we did with Yoridei a couple of years ago. We did chulin, so we did a tasting of davar charef at the end of the year, right? So we could taste, and some of those things were almost enough to kill you. If you were there, you remember.
I didn't
eat it. Okay, there were a few.
I don't remember what
happened. A few of the chili peppers that Alon brought in weren't enough. Dovi, you were there, no? And wouldn't enough to kill you, or some of us who are a little sensitive to heat. But nonetheless, that was an experiment we can do. I don't think we can do this experiment to find out. Let's. Nagar is going to volunteer. We have a volunteer here. Okay. When does Nagar decide enough is enough of the Malkus? So, bottom line is Malkus is pretty painful.
What, were you using the kashir thing, or were you using like the caning sort of thing?
No, I'm using the regular Malkus. Okay. You know, you take calf's leather, you fold it over a couple of times, you have the guy stand up higher than you, make biyado achas b'chol kocho, with a couple of little tiny whips on the side, I think maybe just for decorative purposes, on your back. And by the way, remember, one third of the malchus goes on the stomach, too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh. Yes. Shtei yados me'achorav. Andy was about to volunteer, and then he heard that part, he said, forget it, right? He'll volunteer for the back ones. Okay, Nagar, we're going to test how many on the front, okay? But a third go on the stomach. So yeah, Malkus is not a good thing. It may not have been like Singapore's caning, but it's really not a good thing. Yitzi?
Given that at least a certain time in history, if you went into debt, you could be sold into sort of a debt slavery.
Yes, debtor's prison.
Make it more reasonable that you might want to take a sort of one-time option instead of selling yourself for a little while?
Except for that Chazal don't believe in such a thing. it wasn't always necessarily observed. You read the Psukim in Yirmiyahu Lamadal, Vaftar Mishpatim, and you see they may have violated the bris. But in Chazal, the only time you're allowed to be, your only time you're sold into Avdus is for theft, not for debts. So if this were a Ganav, you might be right. But other than that, I don't think it would be relevant. Okay. So anyway, so the assumption of the Gemara, to ask the question, if without this Gemara's assumption, the Kaimalan de'ina the Maloko Mishalem, there's no contradiction between the two Mishnayos. The more the merrier. You get Malkos, and you pay. But once we're going to assume for the moment the Kaimalan de'ina loko Mishalem, then we have a problem. And of course, the third approach from the Gemara, Reish Lakish deals with the problem how? How does Reish Lakish do away with the problem?
There is a possibility in Malkos. You don't get
So how does that solve the problem? Then you should never pay Knas by Achoso and so on. How does Reish Lakish solve the problem? He challenges the whole assumption, the Kaimalan, Eid Adam Loka Mishalim, because Reish Lakish says the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, who says Adam is Loka Mishalim. Right, we, Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, will both give their answers on the assumption that only that you only get one. But Reish Lakish solves the problem by challenging this line, the Kaimalan, Dein Loka Mishalim. It's the Gemara talking. Okay, so now, what are we talking about here? What kind of mammon are we talking about? Which mammon are we talking about here? We're talking about the knas of ones and mefata. We're talking about the knas, right? Ones and mefata pay damages, but that's not what the knas is. The knas is the cherry or the icing on the cake. They pay whatever damage they do for her loss of value in marriage to a father. They pay for the boshes, for her shame. If it's a rape, they pay for tsar. But the knas is on top of that. So the Gemara's assumption that the Kaimalan Ein Adam Loka Mishalim means that the principle of Ein Adam Loka Mishalim applies even when you're dealing with knas. Because if the principle of Ein Adam Loka Mishalim did not apply to knas, if by knas you could pay and get malkos, so then the question would disappear. You know why the Mishnah Malkos says you get Malkos? Because you do. You know why the Mishnah here says you pay, even though you're liable for Malkos? Because you pay. You get both. Why? Because everybody should agree that Adam Loka and Adam Loka Umashalim Knas. Right? Only something which is Mama, which is pure compensation, not element of punishment, everybody would agree in Adam Loka Umashalim. But Knas, perhaps not. As an aside, that particular Svara, it makes absolutely no sense. Why? Benny?
Mamu is actually going to the other person. I mean, that's what's going to really repair the damage.
Correct. I would say it differently, actually. You're invoking what will be the svara of Tosos in the one-line Tosos for Imamona Kulahu. Right, you're invoking that. Why would we ever say not? In the Gemara later, when the Gemara says Havamina, that you might actually give him the lesser punishment, the Mamana Malkus, Imamona Lakula. Right, so Tosas asks, Tosas asks on that, but we sort of asked, why would you let the guy off the hook? The answer is because there may be an issue of compensation. The same answer Tosas gives to his particular variety of that question. But there's a better reason why you would, if you're going to say kama drabamine, you'd say dafka by knas and not by mamon. Not just because Benny says correctly, but not just as he says that the mamon is compensating for loss, but
because the knas, like if malkos are something that based is giving you, knas is also, so based in mamon is everyone would expect you to just pay the guy.
Correct. In other words, the whole thing that we saw in the Yushalmi spells it out, and it seems to be the operative assumption of the Bavli, if you don't hold like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, that Kares patas you from Mamon, is that it's only two punishments in the hands of Beis Din that we say Kamei b'Rabbi Minei. If you're dealing with something that's a kapara, if it's an onesh bidei shamayim, you don't say Kamei b'Rabbi Minei. Now, I would have said that Mamon is the very same thing. When I steal from you, and I get caught, and I have to pay Karen and Kefel, so what's mechayev me, the keren? The theft. What's mechayev me, the kefel, the double? The psak of Beis Din. The mammon is not an onesh of Beis Din. It's almost like when Edom come, if ein adam loka o mishalim, if you can't get two punishments, why is it that if two men come and testify that a woman who was married committed adultery, not only did they get her executed, but she forfeits her ksuba? Why don't you ask the question there, that Ein Adam Loka Mishalim, Ein Adam Mesa Mishalim? right? She's getting two punishment. One, she gets killed, and two, her money's being forfeited. So the answer in that case is because we're not punishing her by not letting her collect the ksuba. She violated the terms of the ksuba. It's not state, as far as I know. I know in our ksuba, and I think even in the ancient ksubas, I think even in the one from the Babita archive, at the Nachal Hever documents, you know, the Qumran scrolls twins, and the Babita archive, I don't think there's anything in her ksuba. There's ksuba's been indichrin in her ksuba, but I don't think there's anything about if you commit adultery, you forfeit the ksuba. But it's sort of understood. It's sort of understood that when you have a ksuba and you have a marriage, that when one of the parties violates the terms of the marriage, they either have to divorce and pay the ksuba, or they get divorced and don't collect the ksuba. So the reason why a woman who commits adultery loses her ksuba is not an onesh mamon, it's she didn't fulfill the terms of the contract. The reason why when I steal from you that I pay keren is not because it's a punishment, it's because that's just fixing what I broke. Whereas knas is really an onesh. The mechayev of knas is the psak din, is the gzar din, and that's a function of beis din. Without a beis din of smuchim, with real smicha, not the fake smicha today, there is no knas. Right? We're not going by knasos today. Even if you had a beis din that operated with edim, if two witnesses testify that Reuven stole from Shimon, Reuven pays keren, Reuven does not pay kefil. That's even if they can even be done on genevos or gazelos. Okay, why? Well, knas is certainly, it has to be something where there's a, what's the expression? Cheschesron kiss. There has to be loss to the party. When I pay you back for stealing from you, I'm compensating you for loss. When I pay you double, I'm not compensating you for loss. That's a punishment. Yitzi?
Isn't the knas also payment for loss?
No.
In this case, in other words, the loss of hana that would have gone...
No.
Knas inherently is not.
The knas, the way Chazal understood it, onesim mefata, is separate from all the damage. The loss of value to her in terms of getting married, that was the pigam. Right, the boshes is the boshes, the tsar if relevant is the tsar. Knas is all on top of that.
But doesn't the Gemara also comment that it's for hana that he shouldn't have gotten? In which case it's also
That's not compensation. Hana shchiva. That was a bayis makar, that the knas is aside from everything else. Okay. But that doesn't tell you why, because I got hana means that you have to be compensated. Does the woman have to be compensated? If she suffered, she has to be compensated.
No, because that's not really her being compensated. That's to the family.
The knas also goes to the family.
Exactly. That's where she...
Boshes and pagam go to the father.
Okay, that I would say...
It's, the father's already been compensated. She hasn't lost anything monetarily.
She's been partially compensated. This is another form of compensation.
For what?
For what would have been viewed as a very good item for sale.
That's the pagam.
Which is, it's also the hana shchiva.
No, what are you talking? That makes no sense. I thought maybe you're going to say alumda shesvara of it's like zenenev is a chaser, so you should pay for the hana.
I was
right? Because she was chaser, although not really her father was chaser, so therefore you pay for the hana you got. But that the chisaron haredi has been played for.
So what's
the
bias point?
His point is v'nasana shochevima, that the knas, the chamishim kesev, is only for shochevima. It's for hana shchiva. It doesn't pay for damages. We're fining him. We're punishing him because he took a hana he shouldn't have taken. She hasn't lost anything on the deal that's being compensated for by the knas. The boshes, the pagam, is the tzar, is the loss. Okay, so the starting assumption would have been, so the starting assumption I would have had anyway is that knas, You do say kamli rabbanim more than mama. Now, what is the Gemara in Makos Daf Dalam Rebbe say? So Tosos quotes. Go ahead, Tema.
Tema de beper kamli de mako mashma beknas loke el mishalim bekaamar apruta de rimer rabbanim de meidin anu beish plonish.
I'm sorry. Before that, he quotes tries to prove this. What's the problem in the Gemara Makos? It's mashna de beknas loke mishalim, and that means according to whom? Well, according to everyone, not only according to our mayor, but everybody would agree that when if it's knas, Adam is loka umeshalim. And if that's the case, without having to go any further, although Tosis is going to articulate it and spell it all out, what's Tosis's kasha? There's
no stira.
The Mishnah here that says you pay knas, and the Mishnah Malkos that says you get Malkos, of course. Because when it comes to knas, you pay Malkos, and you pay Mammon, and you also get the Malkos. No stira, no problem. We can all go home and take a nap. But Tosfos says it's mashma. The Gemara does ask the question. But even though it's mash remakos the knas loka mishalim, and how do you know that the ka'amar?
The ka'amar pluta de remev rabbanan to me idin anavish ploni shechayav lechaber on my time zoot.
This is all quotation of the Gemara. Bishlama Rabbanan Kitamayu. Right? Rishachas Tatamachayva, we have Tamachayva, Mishum Shte Rishayis. You can only give him one punishment. But the Gemara says, Ela Rabbi Meir. Why do you get Malkus and pay? So the answer is. Okay, so he learns the Gemara says from Motzi Shema. Motzi Shema. What is the Dimei Motzi Shema? A man is Motzi Shema on his wife that she committed adultery after that Erisin. He hires two false witnesses to come and testify that she committed adultery. What is his punishment? The Yisru Oso. They shall beat him. And then for Anshu Oso Me'achasef. And he also pays 100. So, Rameir says that just as the Motzi Shema is Loka Mishalim, so too elsewhere you Loka Mishalim. That's what the Gemara says. So now, the Gemara turns around and says, what about the Rabbanan?
Mashma, the Rabbanan lo yafina mimotzi shemra, mishum sphere de edim zomamim mamona, vaknasa yafina mshaper mimotzi shemra de loko mishalim.
From the fact that the Chachamim say that you can't learn from motzi shemra to edim zomamim, the fact that you can't learn is because motzi shemra is knas, suggests that they hold that edim zomamim is mamon. But what if you were dealing with knas? What if you were dealing with something different than edim zomim, which we would consider knas? What should it then have been according to the Chachamim?
Same as motzi shemra.
Same as motzi shemra. You should learn from motzi shemra. And if you're going to say to me, "Ba'ab motzi shemra is knas," well, so is this kefel dal vehe is knas. That should be enough. So that's what Tosa says. I don't understand. What is the Gemara talking about here? Okay, and now v'ula. So Kama Chasnar, who the Masikasam Hachi? You know who, by the way, who said that, made that statement in Makos? Who said that Rabbi Meir learns from Motzi Shemra and then says that the Chachamim don't, Rabbi Meir learns even because it's Kana, the Chachamim don't because it's Kanas, implying that Edom Zon will be Mamon? The answer is it's Ula. So Ula knows that if you have dealing with Knas, that you should say Loka Mishali, even if your name is not Rabbi Meir. So how can Ula, in this sugya, turn around and see that there's a stira, insist that there's a stira, and resolve by saying that the Mishnah Makos is talking about a Bogeris, and our Mishnah is talking about a Nara? Doesn't make any sense. Okay, now,
V'leka
L'meimar.
V'leka L'meimar D'miboshu B'pagam She'in Mamon Parich.
Okay, so what is Tosus says? Tosus thought of a raya, how you might be able to explain Ula's comments. How would you get around the problem? Why would Ula feel the need to reconcile the two Mishnayos here when our Mishnah is dealing with Knas, and even the Chachamim hold that when it comes to Knas, Adam Loka Mishalim? So the answer might be. What? That maybe the reason why Ula felt compelled to resolve the two Mishnayis is because Ula knew that our Mishnah would hold. Ula knew that when it comes to Ones and Mefatev, you don't only pay Knas. What else do you pay? Boshes and Pagam. My Pagam being Nezek, the damage. So maybe the reason why Ula perceived a contradiction between the two Mishnayis wasn't because that our Mishnah said you have to pay Knas, but because our Mishnah assumed. Doesn't say it, that you, not here at least, that you have to pay Boshes and Pagam. Maybe that's why Ula felt compelled to resolve the contradiction. So the answer is that can't be, Tosu says. How do you know that? The Hon, the Mishani Kamachoso Bogeres, Mashma, the Labi Boshes Pagam Parach, the Imkein Lohav Mishani Midi. If the Gemara, yes, Zach? If the Gemara originally was, in its question, was asking from the Knas, I'm sorry, it was asking from Boshes Upagam, why would the Gemara turn around and say Bogeris, that the Mishnah in Makos is dealing with a Bogeris? A Bogeris has the same Boshes and Pagam that a Nara does. What's the difference between the Boshes Gam of a Bogeris and the Boshes Upagam of a Nara, let's say by Ones? What? Who gets it? If she's a if she's a Nara, it goes to her father. If she's a Bogeris, she gets it herself. So the fact that the Gemara thought to give the answer of Kamba Choso Bogeris, and then the Gemara turns around and says Ha'ika Bosha Subkam, tells you what was the Gemara talking about until now. Kanas. So you can't deflect the question from the Sugyan Makos by saying that Ula is not dealing with Kanas, he's dealing with the Mamon pieces, the Boshes and the Pagam. Not true. Ula is dealing Dafka with Kanas. That's why when the Gemara wakes up and has to say, oh, you know what, we're dealing with the Bogeris actually. Boshes and Pagam, the answer is Mefuta at the end of the day. And there's no Boshes and Pagam because she forgives it, because she's a Bogeris, and therefore if Bogeris does something willingly, she's basically forgiving any damages. Zach.
I just want to say that I feel like an easier answer to Tosis' question as to why are we not just talking about Mishnah Gam is the fact that it's a steer between Mishnah and the Mishnah says, in the Mishnah, we're talking about Kanas. Mishnah says we're talking about Kanas. We're not talking about Mishnah Gam. The question comes from
so yes, but you could argue that that when the Mishnah, since the continuation of the Mishnah here in the Perek talks about a Mefata pays Boshes and Tsar and Ones pays Tsar as well, so you might have thought that when the Mishnah says Habalachoso, that it was talking about those things.
But it says the initiation and Canucks. I'm just using the words of the Mishnah.
Okay, so your argument that it would have been another reason why it's impossible to say that.
We know that we're not asking the question from Rosh and the Gram is because we're asking the two Mishnahs on each other, and one Mishnah says Knas, so we're asking about Knas.
Okay, so again, I understand. Okay, so now Tosis asks a great question. What's his answer? Answers. Go ahead. V'yesh lomar. V'yesh lomar,
kivan du rabbanan v'vi meir ein zomi lav knasu.
Okay, so what does he say? Hashta. Okay, continue a little further.
Hashta itlam mila the kol duchtin me'edim zonamin the lomi mosi shemra the kol malchiot yafinan the malko the edim zonamin the samichle lav the chasima.
Okay, so what's his answer? That according to the Rabbanan Rabbi Meir, if Edim Zomim is not Knas, then you can't learn Edim Zomim from Otzi Shemra. And therefore, you're not Loka Mishalim. Why? But why are you not Loka Mishalim? Just because you can't learn from Otzi Shemra, who says that you aren't Loka Mishalim? The answer is... Tosa says, "Lakach lo yafina mimotzi shemra." So, ela ein lokan mishalim michdei rishaso. So, once you have a separate malker kedei rishaso, the hashta islan lemela pachol duchten meedim zom lemotzi shemra. Why? Why should you learn all cases, even kenas cases? Why should you learn them from edim zomim, where you're not lokan mishalim, instead of learning them from motzi shemra? The answer is because the paradigm for Malkos is from Edom Zomim. What's the parsha? The Chiyarid Bein Anashim V'nigshu Al HaMishpat U'Shvatum V'tzdiku As HaTzadik V'yirshiu As HaRasha V'yom Bin Akos HaRasha, and so on and so forth. So Tosus says that once we know that Edom Zomim is not Lokeh U'Mishalim. Good luck, gentlemen. Once we know that Edom Zomim are not Lokeh U'Mishalim, so then we should, what the makar for all Malkos comes from Edom Zomim, and we know that the rule by Edom Zomim is Kedei Rishaso, that Ein Adam Lokeh U'Mishalim, and therefore that becomes the paradigm whether you're dealing with Knas or Mamon. It makes no difference. That's what he says. Go ahead.
Okay.
Bacho o machro, shor shogneva, heim o achirim bishvilam, achinami b'chol alpio.
Okay. So that's one teretz. One teretz is that once Edom Zomimim is Mamon, and you're going to establish the din by Edom Zomimim. No, it's Edom Zomimim is the makar for Malkos, and therefore the rules of Malkos and Kamei Brahmini will be derived from whatever the din is by Edom Zomimim. Why is it that Edom Zomimim, why is it that you're not Loka Mashalma Edom Zomimim? The answer is because of Kedei Rishaso. But if you had had a limud from Motzi Shemra, if you were able to learn from Motzi Shemra, then you might have said that Edom Zomimim is Loka Mashalim. Question, of course, would be, there's one question that's outstanding. How could you say that? Yitzi?
It seems to rest in the assumption that Momon and Kal should have the same status, which clearly they don't, according to that Gemara internally.
What? Hold on. What was my question to you?
I thought you were saying what an outstanding question.
What was the question that you're answering?
I'm not answering. I'm saying that question's out of
answer. What's the question?
The question is that to say that Malko should have the same rule as it has in that pasuk would imply that everything that's logically the same as what appears in that pasuk should include it in one way. But if there's a separate category, for instance, Knas, which that Gemara recognized as a separate category, then it wouldn't fall into that rubric and the answer falls away.
No. In other words, if you have Kedei Rishaso, the simple reading is, doesn't matter, you don't pay and get Malkos. You get one or the other.
Only if payment reflects only one category that applies to everything.
Why would Kedei Rishaso tell you one particular monetary category over a different one?
It doesn't, but the Gemara tells me that I have two different monetary categories.
Right. What's that?
Just not enjoying the star of the drasha, but that's exactly what the drasha is trying to say.
The drasha doesn't specify which. And once you have the drasha, that's going to govern. That presumably is going to govern everything.
Why?
All Malkos. Why? Because the drasha is saying in our context that you only get Kedei Rishaso. You don't get Malkos and Mamon. You only get one of them. And if you want to know what should the general rule be by Malkos, the answer is the Makar for Malkos is from this parsha of Kedei Rishaso. So presumably it should apply to all Lavin. And those Lavin would include even Lavin that relate to Knas, like Lo Tugnovu. Benny?
It could be one for Kasher's Abam could be understanding that whatever you were trying to make them do, you were doing. So therefore, they were paying a Knas, you're paying a Knas, and call it a Knas.
One second. Right?
But this is you're paying Mammon for the Edom Zomim, the Kasher's Abam is you're repaying what you were trying to cause them. You're paying the Mammon, it's a Mammon amount. You tried to force them to pay the Ad Behe, now you're paying Mammon.
When you say that they're going to be killed and therefore you're going to be killed, it's because you owe them your death? Not necessarily.
Tosus does assume that Edom Zomim on Knas is Knas.
Right, but why would that be if you're repaying a monetary debt that you were trying to cause?
But you're not repaying.
A monetary debt.
You kasher as a mammon.
Well, no, but then the mammon also wouldn't be a mammon. What wouldn't be a mammon?
Mammon is mammon because they were paying mammon. And Knas is Knas because they were paying Knas. And Misa is Misa because they were going to get Misa. And Malkus is Malkus because they were going to get Malkus. It's kasher as a mammon.
Right, but the question is, all of that should be called Knas on some level.
Why?
Because there's no damage. You're not repairing damage.
It's not necessarily machlokes between the two of them, but that's how it's in the Havamina
of Tosus. Tosus certainly presents it that way. Benny, your question's a good question. Why? But Tosus assumes that... that when Edim Zomim testify about Knas, that what they end up paying is Knas. Zach?
I didn't read it like that. I thought they were saying Bishar Sheidu, while they're testifying about a Mamun case, they are Machro Tracho Shor Shal Gnevah.
Oh, 1 second.
They're not being made about someone who did that. They are the ones doing it. Or Acherim Bishvilam.
Yeah, he's correct.
This is Mamush Knas. And I think it's doubtful because Tosos asserted the opposite of what you were just saying, that they had to choose this case. They hold that all
monetary payments are of Edim Zomim are considered Mamon.
Even if it's that, they're made about a Knas.
Right. Bishar Sheidu. Tavchu amachru shor shogenei v'hema acherim b'shvilam because it's yishlech d'arvera so hachinami b'chol malkios. If you're mischayev knas at the very same time as you're getting malkos, so the din would be that you still say kidei rishaso because mikra mole diber kasur. That's the operative sar here. So that's the first teretz. The first teretz is that even were Edim Zomimim, even if you were dealing with Knas, initially we don't learn that Adam Loka Mishalem from Motzi Shemra, because Motzi Shemra is a Knas, and Edim Zomim is not. And therefore, we can't learn it from Motzi Shemra. And what's the din by Edim Zomim? Then we read the Pasuk, Kedei Rishasa. And once you have that Pasuk and that Svara, or that drasha, so then all kinds of mamon, when you become mischayev at the same time as Edim Zomim or anything else, even if it's a knas, you're going to be pater. And that's why the Gemara perceived a stira between these two mishnayos. That's answer number one. Answer number two: v'oti reitz ritzba. Adir?
The Rabbanan Nami Matsis Savre the Edim Zomim in Knasa. Mikomakom, lo yafina mimotsi shemra, mishum de kaderi chateau, mashma, bimamon, umalko.
Stop for a second. So the Rabbanan, not only, the Rabbanan might actually hold that Edim Zomim is a Knas. Why? Because he didn't actually do anything. Nonetheless, the mikomakom lo yalfina mimozi shemer. Why? Mishum the chedei rishaso mashma b'mamon umalkos. So, what's the problem with this statement? What's that? Yes, which says. It certainly sounds that way from the Gemara.
We're trying to figure out how to put the which was answered back into the words of the Gemara Makos?
Yes. Right, the Gemara Makos says, the Gemara asked the Kasha that Motzi Shemra is Knas. So that Rabbi Meir's answer is that Edim Zomim is also Knas. So if the Chachamim so I guess the Ritzbah says the following. He says that the Chachamim might also hold that Motzi Shemra as a Knas again, but it says Kedei Rishaso, and Kedei Rishaso is Mashma, you never get two punishments. And Rabbi Meir is going to be Dochik a little bit. So the question is, but the Gemara implies, again, the Gemara implies that the reason why we don't learn from Motzi Shemra to Edim Zomim is because of Knas. Yitzi?
I thought the Gemara only implied that Rabbi Meir's reasoning
was
toiling. I thought about that already, but the problem is, and what did the Rabbanon hold? So you say, oh, so you're going to say the Rabbanon hold despite the fact that it's a kanas, you still don't learn because kedei rishaso. But it was a kasha, even if you didn't have kedei rishaso, how could Rabbi Meir you learn from motzi shemra, which is a kanas? The answer is, edim zom is also a kanas. Right. Okay. Aval Rabbi Meir mishum, go ahead.
Aval Rabbi Meir mishum binyan av, the motzi shemra, moki kedei rishato,
and umapiklei. So Rabbi Meir says, no, you know where kedei rishaso applies? Only by misa and malkos. Not by misa and mamon, because Rabbi Meir holds other misa mishalim. Not by malkos and mamon, because adam loka mishalim. Rabbi Meir is forced to grapple with kedei rishaso. So he says that's by misa and malkos. But the Chachamim don't want to do that. They don't want to limit. They don't want to limit kedei rishaso only to misa and malkos. And once they have kedei rishaso, it doesn't really matter whether or not motzi shem is a knas or whether or not edim zom is a knas. It doesn't make a difference. It still says kedei rishaso. And therefore, what has to be the demai motzi shem according to the Rabbanon? It's sui generis. It's different. But you can't learn from it. And even though motzi shem or edim zom are a knas, why can't you learn from it? Because we know that din by edim zom is kedei rishaso, and kedei rishaso is mikra male diber kasin. It's the full gamut of punishments. So that's teretz number two. Inami
taima derabanan can refer to Yerushalmi. Motzi shem or chidushu to bedibur greda mechayim. Af agav to edim zom inami to bedibur raihu mechaybe.
So what's the answer? Again, it's a difficult read in the Gemara a little bit. We have to say the same. What is the answer, firstly? What?
Motzi
shem ra zechidish. Right? What's the chidish?
It's dibur.
It's only dibur. And still your nifsad. So, motzi shemra, I'm sorry, edim zom is also only dibur. Right, so what's the answer? I know, I'm just fleshing it out. What's the answer?
Dibur to dibur, I guess.
What?
Ayin edim.
Yeah,
it's ayin edim.
Well, one of them, and as edim zomim is purely with your dibur, something happens. But by motzi shemra, it's not true. What really generates the motzi shemra? The testimony of the false witnesses that you hired. So your dibur alone saying lo matzasi levitcha b'sulim, that's not enough to do anything to her.
Ruin Thanksgiving.
What's that? Toivle tzadik, toivle shcheinai. Okay. So you have to say that by motzi shemra is a bigger chiddush. It's a bigger chiddush because the dibur, the maisa happens al yidei the edim. Your dibur is a prerequisite, but it's not really what generates things. Whereas when it comes to edim zom, it's mamish your dibur. Mamish your dibur said that's doing things, and that's why the fact that you're nenash is not a shock. That's not a chiddush by edim zomim. So what is Tosas really doing now? Again, it still runs into the same problem. What do you do with the Gemara? Tosas is saying that the Chachamim reject the limit from Motzi Shemra, not on the grounds of the Gemara's Kasha, but Motzi Shemra's Kanas, with the implication that Edom Zomim is Mamot, but rather the Chachamim rejected that even if Edom Zomim were also Kanas, Motzi Shemra is different. It's a big Chiddush. And therefore, you can't learn from Motzi Shemra to anything else. And therefore, all you're left with, of course, is by Edom Zomim, you're left with Kedei Rishasel. Zach?
Well, I don't know. This might be a little bit of a stretch, but could literally reading the word Knas and Makdos is like not being Chachamim is like not the halachic sense that it's Knas versus Mamon, but like Knas like is a Chiddush. Like, it's a punishment for what he did that was so bad. It's a Chiddush. And then when Meir comes along, it says, yeah, and also with the Edom Zomim, they also just did a big loss of mice, and they also just did people.
Say that again. The Gemara said, Ma'ala Motzi Shemra Shekein Knas, means?
Could mean like that it's a punishment. Like, not Knas in the halakh sense, but Knas is like, it's a punishment because this is a Chiddush, that he didn't do something that was normal. He did something particularly bad, and Ma'ala Motzi Shemra Shekein Knas. And then the mayor comes along and says, "Bein Zomim." Also, they didn't really do anything that they also just have a deeper problem. And he doesn't make the fill of that. There's a little bit of research, but
I think so.
I'm trying to put it back into the mind at some point. Do you think the rich was concerned with it?
I think they have to be. I think that the angle they're coming from is by saying that the Gemara asked one kasha on Rabbi Meir from the fact that it's Knas. How do you learn from it? Whereas the Chachamim might have said that even if it's Knas, even if we were in Naniach, the answer is that Edom Zomim is Knas as well. And the Chachamim might say, it's true that Edom Zomim is Knas, but we have other problems anyway. Right? In other words, it's a Chiddush because Yishchayev Mishchayevan is this kind of a Dibur. Okay.
That's only your deeper with Motzi Shemra because you're hiring those agents, right?
But they're the ones who actually have to do the deed.
Is hiring not a Maisa?
What?
Paying someone money to do something for you not a Maisa?
No, you ask them to do it. It's not considered a Maisa.
And if you do pay them?
What's that?
Even if you do hire them?
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't do a Maisav Eira there. They did a Maisav Eira. If anybody did anything. Yitzi?
Isn't it possible that Ritz Ba and I guess anonymous second opinion over here are just coming to say like maybe the first answer is over reading in the Gemara? Tosu very openly turns the argument on what Rabbi Meir says. But Rabbi Meir really is the only one making that comment. We don't know what Chazal think about that. Why should we make the assumption? It might be simpler to just assume that Rabbi Meir was putting a little bit more weight over here, but I don't know. The Chum had a different value system in the union.
Yeah, when the Gemara asked the question, well, again, the Gemara, you're going to have to say that there are other reasons to disqualify Motzi Shema, not just because it's Knas. So that's what the third teretz is really. That is what the third teretz is. So in other words, it's not that if they're both Knas, you can automatically learn from one another. It's just that if they're not both Knas, you certainly can't learn from one another. Because you could say, Ma'ala Motzi Shemra Shekein Knas. Okay. It's not the way we would have read the Gemara instinctually in Makos. Right? We would have read that the Kasha Rameir was because Edom Zomim, how do you learn from Knas? Rameir says, Edom Zomim is a Knas. And you would have thought that Chacham held, no, Edom Zomim is not a Knas. So now Tosus wants to bring one last raya that there are those besides Rabbi Meir who clearly hold that Edom Zomim is a Knas, and yet the Gemara doesn't ask Akash against them. What does he say?
Rabbi Meir,
manitin b'may mokim la, b'may lo mokim la kriyam yakiva. B'sfir le, b'peri kama d'baba kama, edim zonim knasahu, d'vedidei lo shaminan d'it le meit m'shalem, ela mashma in shum tana d'savar loke m'shalem, ela Rabbi Meir l'chudei.
So Tosis suggests that the Gemara later is very clearly mashma that even if you say that Edom Zom is a Knas, you're still not Loka Mishalim. Because the Gemara said, the Gemara wanted to know, according to Rabbi Meir, that is a chiddush yachid shetorah b'knas, that Adam is loka umeshalim. The Gemara wanted to know, how does he explain, whose Tana does he say as the author of the Mishnah? And the question is, hold on, I'm in trouble keeping this straight. Again, look at the Gemara later for a moment. The Gemara was trying to figure out. Turn to Lamed Hamed Beis for a second. The Gemara wants to know if you believe that there's a general chiddush that the Torah was mechadish, according to Rabbi Meir, by knas, that Adam is mesu mishalem. So who is our Mishnah follow? It can't be Rabbi Meir, because then the din, what should be the din by ma'anis disbito? You should be chayiv to pay. Why? Because Adam Meisu Mishalim Meknas. So it can't be Rabbi Meir. E, Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akana, so Kasha Achoso. Because the Mishnah says you pay by Achoso, and where even though there's Kares, and that's against Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akana, that we saw in the first Sugya. If you assume, who's Rabbi Yitzchak? I forget, he came up in between. If you assume like Rabbi Yitzchak, if you assume like Rabbi Yitzchak that whenever there's kares, there's no malchus by definition, and that's why you're chayev on the kresus at the end, because there's nothing to patiu. He doesn't hold Rabbi Nechunya, and therefore kares be the shemayim can't patiu. And there's no malchus because any avir that involves kares doesn't get malchus. So if that's the case, what do you do? So that would explain the last part of the mishnah. What do you do with mamzeres? Because everybody agrees there's malchus by mamzeres. So now, come back to our Tosfos for a second. Tosfos had a solution to the problem. If you believe that there are Tanoim, that if you believe that in a situation, that if you were to hold, that Edom Zomimim were Knas, and if the outgrowth of that would be that by Knas Adam Loke Umeshalim, so Tosfos says, then we know who this Mishnah is for Rabbah. It's simple. Tosfos says the Mishnah would be Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva believes that Edom Zomim is a Knas. Rabbi Meir, we never heard from Rabbi Akiva that Adam is Mesa Mishalim. That's unique within Rabbi Meir. But if you're looking to find a case of somebody who normally says, Kamalei B'Rabbanei by Misa, but holds that the Adam is Lokel Mishalim, and you don't want it to be Rabbi Meir, because of Rabbi Meir, then even on Bito he would be Mishalim. Instead, you could pick Rabbi Akiva. How is it that Rabbi Akiva holds that Adam is Loka Mishalim and Adam is not Mesa Mishalim? Well, Adam is not Mesa Mishalim according to Rabbi Akiva because we never heard him say it anywhere. Why would you assume that Adam is Loka Mishalim according to Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva holds that Edom Zomimim is Kanas, and nonetheless, and therefore, what would the outgrowth of that be? That by Knas, even non-Rabbi Meir people might agree, Adam Loke Umeshalim. Because the whole reason why Adam was not Loka Mishalim generally is because you can't learn from Motzi Shema because Motzi Shema is a Knas. But if you're learning to a Knas, like Adam Zelmanin, so then you should be able to say Loka Mishalim by Knas. And when the Gemara later is trying to figure it out, who is it that holds that you get Malkos and you pay Baal Achosa, but Baal Bito is Potter? The answer is, because Kamei Rami, the answer is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds Ein Adam Mesa Mishalim. He also holds Ein Adam Loka Mishalim unless the Mishalim is Knas. Then Rabbi Akiva says, you learn from Motzi Shema that Adam Loka Mishalim. So why didn't the Gemara later say, if in fact holding that something is Knas, holding that Edom Zoma is Knas, means that you can actually learn from Motzi Shema? If that's the case, then our Mishnah could be Rabbi Akiva. You don't have to wind up in being stuck and trying to figure out how our Mishnah is. It's not Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir would say that Baal Bito is Chayev. It isn't anybody else, because you have to explain why Adam is Loka Mishalim. Who holds Adam Loka Mishalim? Rabbi Akiva, very simple. And why does he hold Loka Mishalim? Because he holds Adam Solomon is a Knas. Okay. So Ela Mashma, just reread the last line, Tosas. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say it's Rabbi Akiva, Ela Mashma, the Ain. Adir? The last line towards the end. Ela Mashma, yeah. Ela Mashma, the Ain Shum Tana.
Ela Mashma, the Ain Shum Tana, the Savar Loko Mashalim, Ela Rabbi Meir Lechude.
Okay, the fact that the Gemara couldn't make such a new Kimta means that obviously the Tana, that there is no Tana besides Rabbi Meir who holds that even Adam Loka Mishalim. Right? And even if should there happen to be a Tana who holds that Edom Zomim is Knas, you still don't learn Edom Zomim from Motzi Shemra. So just quickly, go encapsulate the Tosas. Anyone want to give it a shot? Zach?
Okay. So the question is that Makos Tashma that because it says, what's really there is reason, and he says he runs Motzi Shemra, and Motzi Shemra, and so then he runs his out of the Kanas, so he never says that, because he runs his own name, it's the Kanas too, so we can win it. So that's Makos, but I don't know how it's Kanas. But if they did
all
those class, then
you get
that's fine.
Okay, so that's Tosis' question. Good. Three answers.
Okay, so the first one is that when the mayor says it's a class, you need to remove the Shema. So the Rabbanan who say you don't learn Adam Zomim from the Shema because it's Mammon, so then you learn from Adam Zomim because it's Samith Lay, the Lab de Chasima, which will be another Makos too. So that's a more appropriate thing to learn everything else out from than what's a Shema anyway. And then that's true before in whether or not it's a Knas. And Tosa says that even if they were to be Machayev a few Knas during a testimony that they would be Chayev Makos, they would give that Knas.
Once you don't learn Adam Zomimim from Motzi Shemra, then from Edom Zomim you learn that it's always Kedei Rishaso, that you never pay for two Rishayos, meaning you never get Malkos and pay Mamon, regardless of the nature of the Mamon that it is. Even if you were Edom Zomim testifying falsely to become Edom Zomim at the very same time that you were busy shechting the animal that you had stolen, you would still be Potter. That's once we break the link between, now it's Enochami, for the Chachamim, Edom Zomimim is not Knas, it's Mamon. Once you can't learn it from Motzi Shemra, from Kedei Rishaso, you derive all Mamon and Malkos, regular Mamon as opposed to Knas. But the first answer assumes that Enochami, the Chachamim, have to hold that Edom Zomim is Mamon, because if the Chachamim held that Edom Zomim was Knas, then they would have learned, like Rabbi Meir, that you learned from Motzi Shemra. Second answer, Tosus, the Ritzbah.
Says that even if the Chachamim hold that it's Knas, so they would still say that that learning from Motzi Shemra isn't nearly as good as learning from Kedei Rishaso, which is the Pasuk. So we're going to learn from the Pasuk as opposed to Motzi Shemra.
Motzi Shema is a pasuk too, but it's a limud outside of the sinyan. Whereas Kedei Rishasel is what the Torah describes here. And in fact, it says Befevish in Edim Zalim, Kedei Rishasel. So you only get one rish, only get one punishment. So, and what does Rabbi Meir, say? If it's so obvious that internal to Edim Zomim, no, the Gemara was saying you can't learn from Edim, you can't learn from Motzi Shemra because Motzi Shemra is a Knas and Edim Zomim is not. That's what it sounds like. The answer is no. Edim Zomim is a Knas as well for the Chachamim. But the point was the Gemara's Havamina was that Edim Zomim was Mamon. If Edim Zomim was Mamon, there was no chance in the world you could possibly learn it from Motzi Shemra. Even if it is, doesn't mean you're going to. If it is Knas, theoretically you can learn from Motzi Shemra, but now you have to weigh your options. And the Chachamim say that the Pshuta Shemikra of Kedei Rishasel implies any two punishments, including Malchus and Mamon. And once you say that, again, Motzi Shemra, Edim Zomim is a Knas, just like Motzi Shemra. But you still don't learn from Motzi Shemra because it says, Beferish, by Edim Zomim, Kedei Rishasel. And that applies, obviously, even Edim Zomim is a Knas. So it applies to all Malchus, and even Malchus and Knas it applies to. But the only question is that such a good teretz, what does Rabbi Meir hold? And what does Rabbi Meir hold? If it says, Kedei Rishasel, by Edim Zomim, that should be the end of the discussion. Obviously, Motzi Shemra is exceptional. So now, what's the answer?
So, Meir, because of Motzi Shemra, he says that we should be Mokim Kedei Rishasel for Rabbi Yisrael.
Rabbi Meir would have to say that Kedei Rishasel is a principle that's limited to Malchus that's being given in the Parsha and Misa. But if you deal with Malchus and Mamon, that it doesn't talk about. And therefore you can learn from Motzi Shemra that Adam Loke El Mishalim. Okay? By the way, just as an aside here, what would that mean? What emerges from this potentially, both Teirutim so far, what would Rabbi Meir hold Legabe Mamon? No, 1 second. No, hold on 1 second. That question will come out right. So Rameer would hold that you learn Mamon and everything from Motzi Shemra. Okay, but Malchus and Misa, he would say you don't get. Okay, and finally, the third teretz is,
like Yushami says, which is Motzi Shemra is a Kiddush, whereas Yerzomim is less.
Because you're chayef just on your deeper alone. On your Dibur alone.
And also, they're not doing anything but Dibur, but they're actually causing a loss. So, as Motzi Shemra is just really a guy inciting other people to cause loss.
Correct. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to learn from Motzi Shemra, which is such a big Kiddush, right? Because it's so chomer that even though you didn't actually do anything, you're getting punished. Right? And that's why they don't want to learn, even though Edim Zomim is a Knas. Despite it being a Knas, there's another reason not to learn from. So that one is, again, harder to see in the words of the Sugya and Makos. The easiest reading in the Sugya and Makos is which of the three Teirutz of Matosos? The first one. That the Chamho, the Edim Zomim, is Mamon. Then you just have to explain, once Edim Zomim is Mamon, then you learn that not only Edim Zomim of Mamon and Malchus, you don't get both, but even when it's Knas and Malchus, you don't get both. The latter two Teirutzim both assume that the Chacham also assume that Edim Zomim is Knas. Nonetheless, you don't learn from Motzi Shemra, either because Kedei Rishasel in its simple meaning is any two punishments, including Malchus and Mamon, and the second Teretz, and Rameir will say, no, it's only Misa and Malchus. But it is Knas. And the second Teret says, the Chamo Motzi Shem, it is almost Knas. But still, you can't learn anything from Motzi Shem, not because it's Knas, but because it's such a big Kiddush. And the Raya that Tosfos brings at the end is simply, there's no Tana. If what we're saying is correct, that Ein Adam Loka Mishalim does not necessarily apply to Knas, then the Gemara later would have had a very simple resolution to its problem, and they were looking for a Tana besides Rabbi Meir, who holds that Adam Loka Mishalim, but Ein Adam Mesa Mishalim, it's simple. Ain't other Mesa Mishalim. I don't know what that's how somebody knows that, but Adam could be Loka Mishalim, learned from Motzi Shemra by Knas, and that would have solved the problem. We know that Rabbi Akiva holds that Edim Zomim is considered a Knas. He says the Gemara says Beferish. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva should have been the solution. The fact that Rabbi Akiva is not the solution shows you that even if you hold an Edim Zomim is Knas, still ain't a Loka Mishalim. Okay. That's the easier of the two toasts, two big toasts. Yes.
Do you
even
the whole last part?
Is it really warm in here?
It's really warm.
That's why I can't keep my eyes open. I can't keep my head straight and my eyes open. Yeah.
Do you think the whole last part is the mitzvah? I mean, like, and once you say the ode to the mitzvah, there's like a change, and maybe the chachamim can hold its class, and then the rest of that goes with it. Or do you think it's going back? And, like,
no, I think it's going back on the first teretz. No. First teretz was Eden Zon Echanami is Balm for Chachamim, but you still can then extend it to Knas. Second teretz is no, Eden Zon is Knas, and you still don't learn from Motzi Shema, as is the third teretz.
No, but exactly, the change is between the first like Beya and Tosos is that for sure Eden Zon Menachem Korn Zon is Mum. And then the Ritzvah has his Kiddush, how many people we can ask, and he has two different ways to work it out, and then it's proof.
I said, what are you asking? There are three teuts, and the second and third really go together.
Do you think that the second and third are both of the mitzvah?
I don't know. Not necessarily. Inami, I don't know whether it's the Ritzvah talking or not. But they're conceptually similar in that, or structurally similar in that, they assume that Edom Zomim is a Knas, and nonetheless you don't learn from Motzi Shema.
But it sounds like the machlokes between like the first day and the first half Tosos and the second half.
Yeah.
Is that whether or not you can say they're a wrong hold
this? Correct.
Also, what about this, the Mashma Usei of the Pasuk Kedei Vishoso, do you ever saw why it's so clear that the Pasuk Shabbat is Nomen and Malkus and
it's not just Maman Malkus, it's everything. Kidei Risha Achas, Kidei Risha So, Nei Risha Achas Ata Machaiva, Lite Machaiva Mishum Shtei Rishayos. So that is, that, there's no reason to distinguish between anything. All of it should be included. Rabbi Meir is the one who wants to limit it to Misa Malkus. The Chacham would say it applies to everything. Misa Malkus, Misa Maman Malkus, Maman Malkus. What? Also, everything. Which I think it means just broader. I don't think it means specifically Maman Malkus. Yes, Alex.
Does Rabbi Meir have a good reason for why would
he look at that?
Maybe a good
argument? I mean, yeah. Rabbi would say that because I'm faced with Motzi Shema where Adam is Loka Mishalin, and on the other side I have Kedei Risha, so I have two choices. I either assume that Motzi Shema is just a broad exception, a simple exception to the rule, or I assume that Motzi Shema is one rule and Kedei Risha is another rule. Motzi Shema would be the rule of Malkus and Mama. So then, by process of elimination, Kedei Risha is Malkus and Misa.
That's
what
the Nukhara Samachokas on whether Motzi Shema is an exception or the rule.
Correct. That's according to the second Teretz in Tosis. Yeah. All right, so that's the end of the first Tosfos. Let's just read the question. Opens the second. Let me just state the question, and we'll stop. This is brutal.
It's the sun outside.
Yeah, I know. The heat is off. It's just terrible. I mean, it is 70 degrees outside. Figure. Okay. The Floridians and Californians should be happy for today. Okay? You're not going to be as happy on Wednesday. Fine. It
goes from 70 to 30.
Yes. Okay. So the Gemara's next step was to say, from the fact that Ula gave this teretz shows that Ula holds that whenever you have Malkus and Mammon, you pay and you don't get Malkus. And Tosus just asks a very simple question: who says that Ula holds this way all the time? What did Ula say that compels us to say that this is a shas rule? Maybe this is an exception. Maybe here specifically, you say that you pay knas, but, and where might I get such an idea that this is an exception to the rule that you pay? How would I know, forget exception to the rule, how would I know that this is a case that you pay the knas and you don't get the money? Because we already had a reboy, a drush at the beginning of the parak, where you had two extra words, besula, besulos, habsulos, nara, nara, hanara, and from there we learn that you pay knas even by psulei kohen, even by chayve kresus. So what do you see from that? Even though you should have gotten malkos, the Torah says you pay mammon. So maybe Ula holds that this is a klal. In other words, maybe Ula holds that this is a klal that applies only to Onis and Fata, and that's it. Why does the Gemara assume that Alma, Kasavar Ula Kalhecha, the Igamaman Akas Baman Rashal Nikolaki, and then the Gemara has to know, how does Ula know it? No! Ula holds that normally you get Malkus and you don't pay Maman, or whatever he holds. I don't care what he holds. In this case, it happens to be you pay money and you don't get Malkus because the Gzeres Shava of Nara Hanara, Nara Nara Hanara, Besula Besulos, Habsulos. So now the rest of the Tosus and Tosus Hashanim is attempting to prove what made the Gemara realize that that couldn't have been the Makar for Ula. That's really what it boils down to. Okay. All right, so we will stop here, and then tomorrow we will, God willing, start to plow through this Tosos. When we're done with that, it's the last Tosos in the Sugya. We're not going to do the one that goes over the page very quickly, and then it's on to Rabbi Yochanan.